CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. We always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible every weekday afternoon. And so we want to just encourage you to give us a call. If you're reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, confused about end time events, hey, that's why we're here. Give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. And looking forward to talking with you today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker we have here on the weekends, Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi and welcome.
Pastor Mike, it's great to be on with you again today. And just to know that we're a day closer to the return Amen. Of our King. And with, man, there's some radical stuff that is going on in our world these days. It seems like at any moment, the world could just dramatically change. Yeah, I've just kind of been paying attention to the world currency, and right now it's the dollar, which I don't know why, because it's not worth all that much. But there are nations, I'd say probably the majority of nations, that are desiring that the U.S. dollar would no longer be the world currency. And you know, Mike, if that happens, what's going to happen to the economy here?
Oh, man, inflation is going to skyrocket. Yeah, well, exactly. just some things that are indicating to show everybody where we're at. You know, silver has remained relatively cheap up to just about the past week, and now it has skyrocketed. I think right now it's at $32, maybe $33 an ounce, where a month ago it was $22. Dollars an ounce, because all this talk about going to the brick, abandoning the American dollar, President Joe won't stop the printing presses, so it just keeps devaluing all of our money. And nobody in America that has savings is going to have anything left by the time this guy gets done. And what I mean by done is, even if it's November, we're going to have anything left. I mean, at the rapid rate, we have the worst inflation since 1948. When I see the American news media try to put Band-Aids, lipstick on a pig, if you will, saying, oh, it's not that bad, it's good, it only went up 3% last month. Well, that's 3% on top of the already 20% that it's gone up in the last 3.5 years. So again, we are in financial turmoil right now. The world is. That's why they want to divorce themselves from the American dollar. And so then we have, of course, the Ukraine bombing a lot of Russia's interior structure. Again, Putin threatening nuclear retaliation. And of course, we're rapidly on the road to World War III. And, you know, again, when we study Revelation, you find in Revelation chapter 6, a guy on a white horse going out conquering and to conquer. He has a bow with no arrows. He goes out initially diplomatically to unite the world, and then, of course, the fiery red horse to bring them in militarily unto a one-world order. The guy on the white horse, Revelation chapter 6, the very first couple of verses, is not Jesus Christ. It is the Antichrist. The reason why we know that is his authority was given to him. Jesus has always had his authority. And so we know it's not Jesus there in Revelation chapter 6. But before that happens, everyone, if you're a believer, the Bible says Jesus Christ takes his church home. His bride gets to go home. Revelation chapter 4, the word metatalta. After these things, I heard a voice speaking to me like a trumpet, saying, come up here, and I'll show you what must be after these things. Again, after these things, metatalta, what things? He just described the church, the age of the church. And curiously, the church is never mentioned again on this earth in any end time picture after Revelation chapter 3. They're always found in heaven. Now, you find saints, of course, people that are saved during the tribulation period, the elect. We find the Jews that are right with God, but you never find the church. And I think that is so significant to understand how important it is that you realize, as Paul says, to encourage one another with these words concerning the Lord taking his church home. One of these days, the world's going to get what it always wanted, a world without Christians. And the Bible says in just 7 years, the world destroys itself. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. In other words, the tribulation should have and probably could have gone on a lot longer. It was limited to 7 years because of man's rebellion against God. And also remember, God has not forgotten that promise he's made to Abraham. Now, it's interesting. The Bible says that salvation is of the Jews. Oh, man, that burns all the anti-Semitic groups. But it is.
Yeah, it Reformed is theology, the right?
It is through the Jews that God revealed his great plan of salvation for the world. Well, I don't like that, somebody might say. Doesn't matter. You're not the one in control. God is. And Jesus Christ, descendant of Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And truly, through that salvation in Jesus Christ, we really are. The nations of the world are blessed. But we reject that. You miss the rapture, and you enter God's judgment on this earth. And, oh, my friends, you don't want to be here during that time. 8888, ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Joanne on the line in Alaska. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
I have a question. Are those who bear the seal of God in Revelation 7 the same people who are sealed in God in Revelation 8?
Okay, your thoughts, Greg.
Well, obviously, in Revelation 7, that's the 144,000 that are sealed, and I don't know why people get confused on this, and I don't know why the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that this is a characteristic that's attributed to them, but it clearly says that these are 144,000 Jews because they are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's pretty clear right there where it says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. All of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. That's Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Now, Joanne, what specifically are you asking about in Revelation 8?
Well, our ladies group is studying Revelation and using Amir Sarfati's book, Revealing Revelation, and that was one of the questions. And I couldn't find an answer that was clear to me.
Well, and that's exactly what we're asking as well. What is the second group? Was that the exact question in your workbook? You know, are these two groups sealed by God the same? Mike, can you add any? I'm not sure what we're talking about.
No, because I don't see. Can you identify the verse that you're in question over, chapter 8?
Joanne?
Christians that know God.
What was that again? I'm sorry, the phone dropped out.
So the 144,000 that he's talking about are Jewish.
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt. From the 12 tribes of Israel. So no groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses or anybody else. It says they're male, they're virgins, and they are not members of the Jehovah's Witness group. Again, this is a real tragedy because, again, they're adding to God's word by saying they're members of their church, when it clearly says 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jews by tribe. I mean, very, very clear, says they're virgins and says they are male. And so they violate that as well. So something we have to look at. Now, going into what was the verse in chapter 8 you were concerned about?
Oh, I'm driving right now, so I can't remember the exact verse. Do you see it there, Jane, where they said it was sealed? Verse 4. Yeah.
It says, the smoke of their incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God, the angel's hand. Is that the question?
The question was, are the ones who it speaks of being sealed in Revelation 7, which we know are the 144,000, are they the same ones in Revelation 8 that it says they are sealed also in Revelation 8?
Well, in verses 3 and 4, it's just talking about the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And then verse 4 says, in the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from angel's hand. So we're trying to decipher the question that that you're asking, because we don't see that two groups are sealed there.
I don't see that. You might have the wrong verse. Maybe that's where part of your confusion is coming from, dear, is you don't, there's maybe something was written down wrong, because again, Revelation 8:4 is dealing with the saints. Now it talks about the prayers of the saints. Are the prayers of the saints part of the 144,000? I believe so, yes. But also anybody else that has accepted Christ living on the earth during the tribulation period. And we find a lot of what their prayers are is, how long, O holy and true, before you avenge our blood on those that are martyring the saints, literally. But as far as the 144,000 Jews, I don't find that outlined in chapter 8.
Yeah, okay, and I don't, so, it wouldn't be, they would not be the same group, because we're talking about, we're talking about the 144,000. As far as we know, the 144,000, we don't hear about their death anywhere in the book of Revelation.
Later on, but they are servants of God. Now people say, well, why is the 144,000 here? It's because the church isn't here and God is never without a witness. And so we have to understand why they're here. And I believe, again, is they're in service to God, evangelists, you might say, on the world. You have the 144,000, the angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people not to take the mark of the beast. And you have the two prophets in Jerusalem, in the streets of Jerusalem. One for sure is Elijah. The other one, we don't know for sure who it is, most likely Enoch, have come back and warning the world. You have somebody from before the flood, before the great judgment of the deluge, and one after the great flood, warning people to repent. And it's interesting, because even when we get into chapter 20, the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it at the great white throne judgment. And I believe that is also referring to the people who died before Noah in the flood, or during the flood, because they estimate there was somewhere between probably 7 and 8 billion people on the earth before the flood. When you do the begats and you look at all that, then you realize the longevity of man living to be at nearly 1,000 years old. This is why they can come up with these astronomical numbers. And the Bible says, for the people of Noah's day, they only imagined evil continually. So this is why God brought this catastrophic judgment upon the world. And so because of that, again, the sea gave up the dead. They're going to be judged for the way they lived their life. God gave every human being a very precious gift called life. What did you do with it? And God's going to call every person into accountability of that. People talk about the talents. Well, one he gave one, one he gave two, one he gave five, or depending on what you're looking, one, five, and ten. He gave a gift to everybody called the gift of life. What did you do with that? Squander it? Spend it on yourself? Go through life stoned, never spending 5 minutes to find out why we're here on this earth? So that's one of the reasons why I believe it's so important to use what God has given us for his glory. Joanne, did you find another verse for us yet?
Did you find that other verse in 8 changed? What does it say? What does it say? Oh, no, no, that's not the right one. It's okay, yeah, it's the seal of God. Okay, we haven't found the other verse. I'll have to look for it and maybe call you back another day.
You just call us right back. Joanne, you can call us right back. We'll make room for you. It's a good question, and I like Amir Sarfati's teaching. And so I'd like to make sure that that's clarified for you and your group, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, call us back, and we'll talk to you then. Let's go to Marie in Washington. Hi, welcome. Marie, are you there?
Hey, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it so much. I just find myself in a complexity of thoughts. I've come out of decades of many false doctrines, you name it. I've walked through it, not knowingly. I didn't know truth. So I was looking for Christ. My big question would be, I was like on a teeter-totter, you may say, in my soul realm. I started, in every way, trying to find truth in different types of churches here, there, and I won't name them. But I had dreams. I didn't understand about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I knew of Jesus, the name God. I didn't understand his character and attributes. I was kind of blind, looking still for truth. I started having these kind of like dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And the dreams were really vivid. And I started having even visions in the daytime. And the one dream, I told the Lord what I knew about him. I knew more about Jesus than I did God. I said, well, we'll wait and see if this one comes true, if it's really you or not. I wished I had time to tell the dream because it was pretty, pretty vivid and every bit of it came true. It took 3 years, but every bit of it came true. And I know Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God, but he had apparently a dream and he had to wait for somebody to come and help interpret it. Mm-hmm. And so, and one more thing before I shift to the other side of my thought and heart. Then I had a vision right before COVID, and there were angels literally marching in articulate step, you know what I mean, a big line of them. And they weren't missing a beat. I mean, everything was in beat. They had the flag of the United States in the right hand, really very militant, their bodies and posture, right? And they were marching. And in the heavenlies, there were all types of angels. Like, they were very so vivid. They were like an artist had actually put the different types of angels up there. They were all
the Bible. The Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about that when the host of heaven, a third fell with Lucifer. We know that in the host of heaven, there are messenger angels. There are warring angels. There are protective angels. Satan even said that to Jesus. Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. For it is written out of the book of Psalms that the angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone. That's one of the verses that we can look at where it's confirmed that there are protective guardian angels, if you will. We also know that, in this angelic host, there are different ranks. We know that they're, again, they're seraphim, cherubim. We find all kinds of very unusual angels in the host of heaven that are here on this earth to I believe remind man of his eternal destiny. And of course the Holy Spirit works within, I believe, all men to cause them to repent. The Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. It's what we do with that faith that I think is so important. So Marie, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, the question, I conclude really quickly on that vision. So the angels apparently turned around and came back the opposite way. And their flags were all, like, rolled up down at their side very militantly, like down. And they were marching the other direction. And what came to my heart and mind was that our country was going to go down, like down, the United States. And that's when we got hit with COVID and everything went crashing. I'm just throwing that out there. That's not my dream, but that's one of my visions. But like you speak of those angels, there were many different kinds of angels around and in the heavenlies and what you just spoke of. So my question to you, it's a big one. I'm questioning what the things I used to know. Like I knew the 9/11 was going to happen before it happened. I pretty well known some of the major things that have occurred before they happened or I saw them. And I didn't know the Bible that well. I was confused with the church doctrines of all that I had been through. And now I feel like I don't know if that was really all from God. And then now things have shifted on me. Now I'm having the worst nightmares of anybody in the world could have in the nights. So I'm calling you because I don't know who to talk to about these very evil dreams. Honestly, they're that bad.
And well, I'm glad you called. Let me ask you a question very quickly. Marie, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. Well, that I do believe that God does and can, not always, communicate to us through dreams. We look all the way through the Old Testament, and oftentimes people that didn't know God got dreams. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, Pharaoh on the seven sickly cows, the seven fat cows, seven sickly cows. We remember Pharaoh concerning Abraham's wife. We find Chedorlaomer as well. These people in the Old Testament that had dreams, you know, I always took for granted that where the Bible says in the book of Acts that your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And I always thought, oh, that's only talking about believers. But when I really study the scripture, I find that God gave many, many dreams to unsaved people, ungodly people to bring them into the kingdom of God. I believe this is where part of that verse, when you seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. God has a way of getting his message to anyone, anywhere, when you truly seek to know him. Now, concerning your dreams, where are they coming from? What are they? Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned that, yes, unbelievers can have dreams from the Lord, Abimelech, right? I think you mentioned Abimelech when Abraham and Sarah were venturing, and Abimelech was warned in a dream. Says, hey,
"Oh yeah,
stay
away. Abimelech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Abimelech, stay away from that gal because she's not his sister. She's actually his wife." But let me encourage you with this. I think there's a question behind the question, and you mentioned it basically towards the end of what you were saying there, Marie, is that. You just need some, it sounds like you just need some encouragement right now. And you're going to find that in fellowship. Are you in fellowship right now, Marie? Are you attending a church?
I'm somewhat in a place of a burnout and wanting to be in fellowship. I've seen too much of the wheat and the tare. And right now I'm just trying to get to the place where I learn who God is and the Holy Spirit and really find truth. I don't want to get mixed up.
Yeah. Well, the Lord just told me that there was a question behind the question, and the question is, and I think what the Lord really wants us to tell you is that Jesus is madly in love with you, and he's going to cast out. There's one fear that casts out all other fear, and that's the fear of the Lord. There is no fear in love. That perfect love casts out all fear. And it sounds like maybe you've gotten burned out a little bit, or maybe hurt or wounded in some church environments. And Mike understands that. I understand that as well. And I'm encouraging you. You still need to take a risk. You still need to be in fellowship because it's there's safety in fellowship. Maybe we can find you a good, healthy church in your area, and maybe you can try that. But more than anything, even the questions about the dreams here, the Lord just wants you to know that. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You have nothing to fear. Don't look to man. Jesus never said, follow my people. He said, follow me. So trust him. Are you receiving that, Marie?
Something else, dear. You may have gotten some of these very, very hard dreams, bad dreams. And I'm so glad because without him, you may not have called here today. And without calling us, we couldn't have said to you, you need to be in fellowship. And you may very well need to have the elders of the church pray over you to break something off of you that maybe that is going on. You said you went through a lot of bad experiences searching for God. I'm very grateful that you called today because God truly does love you. Not based upon our works of going door to door, selling flowers in airports or giving all your money or perfect church attendance, but simply as a matter of fact, Jesus loves you, pure and simple. That's what it is. And so understanding how much God loves you, I just want to just, can I pray for you very quick? Marie?
Yeah, can I say one?
Well, we're coming up on a break, but Father, I just want to ask you to really guide Marie into a fellowship that she's got so many questions and she needs friends, she needs fellowship, people who really, really love you, God. And I just pray that you wrap your arms around her, pour your bucket of golden love all over her, and let her know, Lord, this is only the beginning. You're going to do great things in her life. And so may you just touch her life. May you take the bad dreams away, but may you get her into a fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preborn is making Mother's Day possible 280,000 times and more.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies every day by introducing mothers to their preborn babies. You see, when a woman considering abortion meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Monday afternoon as we start off this brand new week. And we're here with Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And we were talking with Marie before we went to the break. And, you know, Marie, something else that I just want to share with you is, you know, the Bible talks about whatever things are pure, holy, dwell on these things. And You know, I tell people everywhere, watch what you watch before you go to bed at night. You know, if you watch the news and all that junk, if you watch things that aren't pleasing to God, bad movies and profanity and things, that's going to affect your subconscious while you sleep. And so I always tell people to be very, very careful with what you do, not only before you go to bed, but all the time in our life. Because again, what we feed upon is what becomes part of us. And we got to be careful of that, because you feed on the wrong stuff, it's going to put powerful thoughts in your subconscious, and those things can be reaped. And so, but I really believe there's nothing better than the fellowship of the saints. Once a person is born again, has a relationship with Christ, Jesus said, "You are my body." Speaking of y'all, you are my body. And God wants us to be part of a body. And this idea of spiritual Winnebagos, and what I mean by Winnebago is, you know, that's a kind of a fancy motorhome that can go anywhere, do whatever it wants, and is not bound by any highway, if you will. They can go camp anywhere. But for we as Christians, I really believe that we need to be led. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in prayer for one another. And I think those are so important in these days that we live. So I just want to encourage you, feed upon God's word before you go to bed at night. Read God's word. We get up in the morning. Good thing to do is read God's word. You're going to be blessed and encouraged. And I'm so glad you called. And I think we lost you over the break, but Marie, our prayers and heart are with you. Let's go to Joanne calling back from Alaska on that Mir Sarfati question about Revelation chapter 7. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. You were right. I think it's a typo in the book, because I found the – sorry, there's a plane going over. I found it in Revelation 9:4.
Oh. Yeah, I believe that. I think that's the same group. Okay. They're divinely protected by God. Your thoughts on that, Greg?
No, I agree. I think that the mystery is solved.
So yeah, because they're divinely protected by God. Now remember, Satan is the master counterfeiter, and he puts his mark on people in Revelation chapter 13. And so you have to remember that he doesn't initiate, he copies. And it's always a very poor copy. So hope that helps, Joanne.
So those who are sealed would be the 144,000, or so they wouldn't be mixed with like tribulation saints?
No, because I really believe, here's what's important to understand. The things that fall on the earth during the tribulation, being a believer during the tribulation doesn't make you exempt from the cataclysmic things that are happening. And I think that's very important to remember. Just say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so it isn't going to bother me. No, it's going to bother everybody on earth. That's why I believe, again, Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. Stay away from any teaching that says, oh, Jesus isn't coming back at all. It simply screams, we don't really know the Bible. We really don't read it. Because if you read it, you can't come to any other conclusion that, as Paul says, to comfort one another with these words. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. We'll be caught up to be with him in the air. And there will ever be the dead in Christ rise first. And then those that are alive and remain are transformed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. That's the hope of the believer, friends. This is why we are to encourage one another with these words. And for somebody to come along and say, oh, that doesn't even exist. They don't know their Bible. Unfortunately, they know maybe some church dogma, but they don't know the Bible, because the Bible is very clear. And not just there, but Thessalonians chapter 4. Talks about this as well. I believe there's spots of it in through the entirety of the Bible. I think even Jesus alluded to it in Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah were. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. That's not the second coming of Christ. That's the rapture that he's describing there. Because of this reason, when you read from Revelation, about chapter 15 on, and in fact, all the trumpet judgments, all the bowl judgments, this isn't a world of eat, drink, and be merry. It's mere survival. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah were, that was a party time. They got blindsided by a global judgment. And I believe today this world's going to be blindsided by a global judgment called the tribulation period. Getting ready. I tell people everywhere, the book of Revelation. If you didn't like the book, you won't like the movie coming to a street near you. Well, it's true. Got to be aware of it. It's real. And, you know, whether God does it or whether man does it to himself, friends, I can see how man's very capable right now of killing everything on this earth. When you have complete underdeveloped nations like Iran and North Korea with nuclear weapons, and now we have a new wild card, everybody. Beep, 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 beep. The leader, the president of Iran, yesterday died in a helicopter crash. So that's going to put a new power into place. Maybe he's not going to be so tolerant towards the Jews or tolerant towards the world. These are questions we don't have answers for. And so the old saying, nothing is constant as change. Hey, my faith is in Christ. It don't matter what changes. God is stable. Hope that helps.
Can I clarify just one more question?
Sure.
So the sealed and Revelation 9:4 there's no other Christians left on the planet that maybe got
saved. No. There's Christians on the planet. But being a Christian during the tribulation will not exempt a believer from the cataclysmic judgments that are going to fall on the earth. Isn't it weird that when the saints go to heaven out of the tribulation, one of the things that Jesus, the Bible says, he wipes away every tear from their eye. Isn't that a little weird that people, it was so catastrophic here on this earth that people would still have tears in heaven? That to me is pretty unbelievable. But you know, the Bible says that. And again, being a Christian doesn't exempt a person from the cataclysmic judgments that are falling on the earth. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm looking at that where it says that they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green things or any tree, not only those, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so those who are sealed, those are tribulation saints. Is that what your question is, Marie?
She's saying is the 144,000 those saints that are mentioned right there? I believe they are. I find nowhere in the Bible that any tribulation saint is exempt from any of the judgments on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see them sealed on their foreheads until later as well. Is that correct? The tribulation saints?
Yeah, that does come later, but the point is right now, and the book of Revelation is written in order, and so because of that, I have to conclude that the saints in chapter 9, sealed saints, are those of the 144,000.
Yeah.
So, hope that helps.
Good job, Marie.
That does. That's Joanne, but thanks so much.
Joanne, thanks for calling back.
Totally clear.
God bless you, dear. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs, and I'll send you 101 Last Days Prophecies as well. Let's go to Justin, Napa, Idaho, by Boiseville. Hi and welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Got a question. Wondering what you guys think about a non-denominational Christian church that chooses not to preach on Revelation because they feel that it would divide the church, and they say it's not a salvation issue.
I would leave that church immediately. We live the Bible. Jesus said this, and I know Jesus is not much of an authority anymore in the church, but he said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that's not up to a man or a denomination to willy-nilly go through the Bible and say what we're going to preach and what we're not, because it's divisive. Well, you know what the Bible says? All of the word of God is divisive. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring a peace. I come to bring a sword between father, daughter. When we really look at what the Bible says, it is a dividing line. And this is where people are so unfortunately saying, I'm going to determine what is not a salvation issue. Well, if that's the case, then throw away the entire Bible and just keep John 3:16, and that's all you need. But you know, it's funny. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? We have all these verses. Well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, about people that won't inherit the kingdom of God, you know, people that are shacked up and people that are profane and drunk. That's divisive. So we're not going to teach out of the book of Corinthians anymore. And look at that book of Jude. You know, it says that those who are in rebellion will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. Ooh, that's divisive. Oh, no, we can't teach that. Revelation, oh, no, that we can't teach that. Even though most of the book of Revelation is calling Christians to repent. Wow, you know, you stop to think about it, Justin. It's pretty scary when these people start playing God and saying, oh, no, I'm going to eliminate that. Who in the world do they think they are to deny people the word of God? I don't think there's probably anything that upsets me more than man to interfere with God's word. Oh, yeah, it's not a salvation issue. Says who? Them? Well, you know, it's kind of funny because the word revelation, the word revelation means the unveiling of. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of who Jesus really is. My goodness, we would never really want the church to know who Jesus really is. We want him to just remain that blonde-haired, blue-eyed Irishman that holds the lambs and smiles gently at the sheep. But is that who Jesus completely is? No, he loves the sheep. But he also comes back and the Bible says that his vesture, his clothes are covered with blood in the great battle of Armageddon. So when people talk about, well, we're going to decide what is scripture and what is not. Ooh, I would run with all speed away from those people because first of all, they don't know God's word because they know what they're doing is sin. And second of all, that they are depriving people of information they need to know that they can then communicate to their unsaved loved ones in the days to come. Like, don't take the mark of the beast. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, I think it was Anne Graham Lotz. Well, this probably goes back maybe 34, 33 years ago. I listened to Anne Graham Lotz teaching on Revelation 1. And she comes out of the shoot and she reminds us, you know, the first five words of Revelation 1, it says it's the revelation, like Mike said, it's the apocalypse, it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And that's the point of the book. Before it's a book about prophecy or before it's there to make us eschatology experts, it's all about revealing Jesus Christ in all his glory and all his splendor and who he is. And the result of reading the book of Revelation, it shouldn't divide. It should draw us all closer to him. You know, the point of the book of Revelation is that Jesus wants us to know him and to know him deeply and intimately. And yes, we read through the gospels and we see his compassion and his humanity. But in the book of Revelation, we see him as Almighty God and in all his power, in all his glory, all his splendor. And the book of Revelation is just about being in awe of our Creator and our first love and our best friend. So here's a suggestion. If you have a relationship with your pastor, maybe just go find his heart out. Maybe just talk to him one-on-one and see just some of the things that Mike brought up, or maybe a couple of the things that I'm bringing up now. Just go and present those to him Because if he's afraid that the book of Revelation is going to divide the church, then he's not going to teach anything in the Word of God. But we don't have that option. We need to teach it, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little, verse.
Well, we're not going to teach Revelation. Well, then as you're teaching through the book of Matthew or Luke, and you come to chapter 21, Matthew chapter 24, what are you going to do with that? Well, golly, you know, we really don't know. This talks about the end times, Matthew chapter 24, and it's so divisive. Let's just skip over it. Boy, I would run with all speed from a church that teaches that way. They're playing God, and let me tell you something. That is not what the Scripture says. You know, again, the reason people don't teach the Bible, it's so convicting. It's so dividing. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. You know, but we don't want a church like that. We want a church of easy believism. You know, my congregation is, you know, these modernists come along, you know, they're on their way to hell, but I'm going to give them buggy springs for the ride. You know, I want to smooth it out as they slide in to eternity because they didn't know God's word. Oh, friends, don't be misled. This is exactly what the Bible warned about. People are going to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And what does an itching ear want to hear? Exactly what it wants to. And conviction, or things that would divide. Of course the Word of God divides. That's what it's supposed to do. What do you think this whole thing dividing the sheep from the goats is about? Well, what did the goats believe that caused them to be separated? So, Justin, I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs, and I think you'll really, really enjoy those things. I got a little book called Time to Grow. It's a good little book that you might want to use looking for a new church. Let's go to Brian, Woodstock, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hey.
Hi, how can we help?
I had a question, and I'm not sure about the verse, but it's Jesus says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he also says the gate is narrow, like to get into heaven, and broad is the way that, you know, people take that aren't getting in it. So it makes it sound hard there.
Okay, your thoughts, Greg?
Well, I'm glad that you're a Bible student here, Brian, because you're in the book of Matthew. Both of those verses come out of Matthew, but they're not in the same context. In Matthew 7, let's see if we can find that real quick. Matthew 7, I think it's 13 and 14. Let me get some glasses where I can actually read these. Let's see. Yeah, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by in it, but because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And what Jesus is trying to communicate to us there is that most people are not going to choose the narrow gate. Most people are going to take the easy route, which is not taking up your cross and following God. And the end of those people, anybody who doesn't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and do their best to be submitted to his will, they won't go to heaven. The other verse that you're talking about is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Two completely different portions of Scripture and different context. The point in Matthew 11 is that Jesus is trying to tell us that he is our rest. And that when we trust in him and not lean on our own understanding, then we will realize that when we're yoked to Jesus, he's the one that's doing all the heavy lifting. Pastor Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, no worries. Keep studying your Bible, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
Amen. being about your daddy's business. Stay online, and I'll send you out some books and DVDs, Brian. I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to Renee in South Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, how may we help?
Hi. So, I got my question is a little different, not about end times, but it's about marriage. And I know when we get to heaven, it won't be, you know, that scripture about all of those different guys that had married that person, and when they get to heaven, who wife she was. But before I got saved, I was married. And I got a divorce for physical cruelty. Then once I got saved, because I know when you become a Christian, you become a brand new person, I got married again. And so I endured abuse, adultery over and over and over. And so I finally got a divorce, right? A second divorce based on adultery. However, since I got that divorce, I have had sex with my ex-husband multiple times because he takes on my Christian vulnerability and say we're still married in God's sight. But what I'm trying to figure out, do I need to remain single for the rest of my life, but I don't want to ever get in sexual sin again, or am I able to go back to him, but he clearly is not where the man of God that he's supposed to be? And so I'm just trying to figure out where am I at with that, or do I just got to remain single now?
Greg, your thoughts. And, you know, that's, you know, a lot of people do a lot of bad things to other people, especially in marriages. And, you know, I think a lot of times people feel that divorce is the unforgivable sin. And I've actually had people say, well, you know, before you accept Christ as your Savior, you want to make sure that you're with the spouse you want to be with, because, you know, you can be forgiven before you're a Christian, but after you're a Christian, you can't be forgiven. And, you know, that's just kind of crazy talk. Why would a child of the devil have more rights than a child of the King if he needs forgiveness? Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm number one. Renee, I want to say thank you for your honesty and
Amen.
Your transparency and your vulnerability, you know, in front of, you know, millions of listeners across the planet. But I can tell you, sister, that there are probably a lot of people that are grateful that you have asked this question.
Amen.
So we'll do our best to give you we'll give you the view from 30,000 feet. But like Mike would always tell you, the best thing to do is to go and sit down with your pastor, Bible in hand, and get counsel from people that you know, that are close to you, that know the situation, that know your heart, that know some of the challenges that you've been through, and it'd be a lot more appropriate than the last couple of minutes of the program today. Let me start with this, Renee. The Bible is clear. God says that He hates divorce. But He loves divorced people. There's some divorced people out there that are listening right now that need to that really need to hear that. God still loves you. Divorce isn't the end. It's not the end. You don't have to be defined by that. You have to be defined by who you are as God's daughter or God's son. In the big picture, the recommendation, you know, after being married twice, would you, from what you have explained, with the grounds that you have explained, would you have biblical authority to get married again? From what you've explained, it sounds like yes, possibly yes. But could you serve the Lord better at this point? And this season in your life, could you serve Him better as a single person? And that's only something that that God can answer to you personally, Renee. So that would be my thoughts, Pastor Mike.
Amen. And again, Renee, forgiveness is for believers as well.
Amen.
And we want to be very careful. You know, I know sometimes people that have had great marriages and thank God for them, they can be very, very cruel and very, very judgmental of people who have it. And thank God they married a good person. But you know, people change, and also people aren't always what they appear to be. And I think everybody that's ever ran a business has seen that. You hire an employee, they come in smiling, and oh, they look like they're the answer to that need in your company, only to find out they never show up for work or whatever else. We find that in the secular world, and people are like that too, sometimes in the dating married world. Be free in Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, Mike, one last thing. Can I say this to Renee real quick? All the single people out there, don't settle for less than God's best for you.
Amen. Amen. Stay in line. We'll get you some books and DVDs. Call back tomorrow. Those that didn't get on, we'll see you first. God bless you.
P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.